What the hell?
The Hellion operators shuffled around, their footsteps making much more noise now because they stood not on soft snow-covered earth, but dry stone. At least, that was what it felt like. It was impossible to tell because they couldn't see a thing.
Anybody have a light?
When do we ever need to bring a light with us?
That's not what I asked.
Moorfield?
I guess?
It wasn't something she usually did with her magic, but she was willing to pull up a little extra green light so they could see each other. Her fingertips burned with her flaring magic, but before she could do anything, a dozen braziers around the team blazed to life with a whoosh of air and enormous shadows dancing across the walls. They were only Bravo's shadows, but it took a moment for Idina and her team to adjust their vision to the sudden light and figure out where they were.
Never mind.
The team stood in an enormous cavern that looked like it was underground. With all the weird magic they'd seen today, this place could have been anywhere. There were no doorways or branching corridors, no sign of any way out, and nothing else here but the dozen braziers set around the cavern's perimeter. Frowning, Idina turned in a slow circle, then stopped when she faced the center of the chamber and the intricate circle of symbols etched into the stone floor. Something about that circle, runes or magical symbols or whatever they were, tickled the back of her mind, but she couldn't place it.
I'm supposed to know this too. Why am I supposed to know what this is for?
All right. We all made it here. Pass the test, I guess.
Yeah. Without any weapons or magical artifacts we probably couldn't use.
Grossman tilted his head back to gaze at the stone ceiling.
What now?
Moorfield, any other hunches?
Don't start thinking I know everything, Sergeant.
No, I'm starting to think we walked into a trap, because that's exactly what this feels like.
I mean, if this is the source of all monsters, it's probably at least a little bit of a trap, Sergeant.
She shrugged, looked up at him, and found her sergeant completely unamused.
Fine. Then tell me what that is.
He pointed at the carved circle of symbols on the stone floor.
Because I don't like the way it looks.
Yeah, that thing's creepy as hell.
Trigger stepped slowly forward, staring at the thicker ring of carvings in the center of all the concentric circles.
Hey, maybe this is it, right? We step on it like a giant fucking button and bam! Turn off the mobs.
Nobody bothered trying to stop her when she pressed her foot down onto the first layer of carved circles, because nobody had any better ideas. The second Trigger's boot hit the stone. A blazing blue light filled the deeply carved center of the circle with a bright flash, and the cavern around them instantly rumbled and started shaking. Trigger spun before running back toward the rest of her team, slower than anyone had seen her move in a long time. They all stared at her because of it. The rumbling stopped, but the blue light still flared at the center of the circle, and Trigger stopped before staring down at her feet.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
When do you run away from shit as slow as the rest of us?
Well, it wasn't on fucking purpose.
Clenching her fists, Trigger looked across the cavern and ran again. At normal speed.
Fuck!
You better not be fucking around.
I'm not.
The central blue light pulsed and spread the same glow to the next concentric circle away from the center. The chamber rumbled again, and now the stone floor shook beneath Bravo's boots, rattling loose handfuls of cold stone from the walls and ceiling around them. Trigger tried to run again, then gave up.
I got nothing.
Briggs closed his eyes and looked like he was intensely concentrating on something. It didn't work out the way he wanted, because when his eyes flew open again, he looked terrified.
Shit on a stick! Anybody else missing the full scope of their goddamn magic down here?
The rest of the team tested it for themselves, and one by one, they all looked as terrified as Briggs.
Oh, that's a hell of an answer.
I'm good, Sergeant.
Idina turned toward him with an open palm full of glittering green light.
So you're the only one of us down here who gets to do the thing we all came to do. Fucking excellent.
We still don't know what that is. So maybe we don't need our weapons or magic down here.
Another flash of light came from the carved circles on the ground. Another layer of the symbols lit up with blue light, and the chamber shuddered again, this time much more violently. With the rumbling of the rocks around them and the crack of several much larger pieces breaking off to fall around the cavern's perimeter, however, now there was another sound.
Yeah, about that. I think Moorfield's gonna have to take this one on anyway.
Everybody looked up at the ceiling. For a moment, there wasn't much to see. Then they realized the scrabbling and scratching sound wasn't coming from the ceiling itself. A black fungal swarm of something spread across the stone to head down the rock walls of the chamber. Then multiple forms rose from the fungus, flashing in different colors and making their own strange and unique sounds as they descended.
Holy fuck! Didn't we fucking kill that thing?
He pointed at a silver blob moving down the wall like an inchworm.
Yep, that feathery piece of shit over there, too.
So what? We got sucked down into a fucking mob cemetery?
Another blue circle lit up on the ground, and with a massive deafening crack, a surge of new mobs appeared from within the black fungus on the chamber ceiling to swarm even faster down the walls. One dropped in front of Chandler, opened a mouth that looked like a clamshell, but strobed with puke-green light and screeched in his face. Reacting on instinct, the enormous operator sent his giant fist into the mob's face with a sickening crunch. The creature fell back. Chandler roared in pain and surprise, then shook out his fist before glancing at the bloody tears along his knuckles.
Fuck.
We need a plan.
Kind of looks like we're working on one right now.
Sergeant, please don't say our plan is to stand here and fight these things with our bare fucking hands.
If anyone has a better plan, feel free to say something.
Then he kicked a mob that looked like leafy vines crawling all over itself, and the mob recoiled enough to leave him alone for now, but not enough to fully retreat.
Moorfield!
Idina reached out toward the vine mob and sent a bolt of splintering green light into the creature's center. It screeched and exploded in a burst of swarming ash. Then she turned and blasted more light at the silver blob inching toward Bam and pulling itself up to a height of at least 4 feet. The mob exploded in the same way and immediately transformed into shards of black rock that hit the floor and disappeared a second later. The final blue ring in the circle of symbols on the floor lit up with the same electric blue light, but nobody was paying any attention to that now. Shouting at each other and trying to warn their neighbors of pending mob attacks, the operators of Bravo Team threw whatever they had left at the mobs closing in on them, which wasn't much. Fists and boots, shoulders, even a headbutt here and there, and it still wasn't nearly enough to make the insane numbers of monsters fall back. Idina did everything she could to deal as much damage as possible, spraying walls of green light in one direction to take out a dozen mobs at a time, or picking off large chunks of them off the cavern ceiling. While that was the most effective way to get rid of the things, as soon as she took down a dozen Scottish monsters in this weird magical cavern, another 2 dozen appeared to take their place.
This isn't working, Sergeant!
She sent a crackling power surge of green light across the stone floor toward the closest group of mobs.
No shit! Fix it!
Fix it. Right. Like I fucking broke it in the first place.
Then Idina remembered that she had, technically, broken it. She and Richard, when they defeated the Ulk. Somehow, she was the only one down here who'd been allowed to keep her magic, while the rest of her team had been perfectly willing to lay down their arms with her.
That's what the old man meant, not our weapons. He told us to lay down our magic, and we did it. Except me?
Hey! If we can all get to one side of this place, Moorfield can use her secret weapon.
And kill all of you in the process? Yeah, great plan.
It's better than letting them fucking eat us alive down here.
He roared and delivered a series of crippling blows to a mob that looked like a feathered snail. The thing screamed and burst like a water balloon before shriveling into a glowing orange puddle.
We're tearing us apart into tiny pieces while we can still feel it.
Not gonna happen.
Hydina launched bolt after bolt of green light into a swarm of oncoming mobs, but they wouldn't stop.
Not your call, Moorfield. Do it!
Sergeant?
That's an order!
Fuck!
Hydina fought through the mob of mobs to get as far away from her team as she could.
They want me to suck all the life out of everything in here, maybe including them. Because that's the least shitty way to all die?
Her shoulders and arms burned with the flare of her magic, and pretty soon, she could hardly see her team anymore as the thousands of mobs converged on the chamber and didn't stop.
I can't do this!
Moorfield! Do it! Do it!
If I do, none of you are getting out of here alive!
Doesn't look like that's happening either way!
Anybody else have a problem with it?
They were all willing to lay down their lives for me, for the mission, even after they trusted me and I'd led them to their death.
When you get out of here and tell the story, make sure it sounds a lot fucking cooler than this.
You better not say a fucking thing about us losing our magic either.
Hydina's guts sank even further as she blasted back more mobs and felt the intensity of her only secret weapon power that her entire team wanted her to use right now. Because they were willing to lay down their arms, to give up their magic, to die right here so they could finish the mission and do what they'd been sent out here to do. Then she looked down and saw the glowing circles of blue light on the ground in front of her. Gavina Myrdan's words blasted through her mind.
There is a time to wait and a time to act. There is also a time to listen and understand what's being asked.
What the fuck does that mean?
It will seem madness. Listen to the call. When the world turns and darkness comes at its heaviest, what has been given must be freely returned. Nay sooner, nay later.
The pieces were coming together, but it was too slow, and it felt like too little too late.
Moorfield, I swear to Christ, if anything kills me down here before you do, I will fucking haunt you forever. Do it!
She had no idea why that final command was what made all the pieces click into place, but they did. Filling the void, stopping the change, freely returning what was given. New mobs, new magic, everything had changed. And now she had the opportunity to change it back. The source of all monsters had a leak, ripped open by defeating the Ulk and the oldest warrior monster anyone knew of. Maybe even the first.
I don't have to kill anything down here. I only have to give it back. New magic. That's the sacrifice. Not my team's lives. Jesus, how did I not see this sooner?
Take it all, warrior!
Hydina only needed a few more seconds to clear the path of mobs between her and the innermost circle within the carved symbols, the deepest of them all, and the source of the blue light. She had no idea if her team could see what she was doing. If they could, they probably thought she'd lost her mind, or that they'd lost theirs and trusting she would do what had to be done for the mission. That was exactly what she was doing. They just didn't know it. The cavern trembled violently when she reached the inner circle, and Hydina dropped to her knees on the cold stone. The light from the dozen braziers around the chamber darkened as even more mobs filled the space, and over the roar of so many monsters upon them, she couldn't hear her team's shouts anymore. This was what she had to do. She slapped both hands down into the sunken circle of blue light and pulled up the part of her magic that would have sucked the life out of every single mob and operator to power her life. Hydina had no intention of using it. She was giving it back. The source of the world's monsters accepted. The intensity of the pain Hydina felt at that moment was unlike anything she'd ever had to endure. It took over all her senses, her awareness, her mind, and every single molecule of her body. Unending pain ripped through her. Blue and green light flashed and battled each other in her vision, then everything disappeared. Hydina collapsed to the cold stone beneath her, gasping for breath. For a moment, She thought she'd lost her hearing when the chaos of the chamber disappeared instantly.
Fuck, Wilson. Seriously?
You think I like doing this?
Idina pushed herself up off the cold stone floor of the great hall. Her jaw dropped. Covered in goo, slime, ash, and weirdly colored powders, Hellion's Bravo team members had dropped into the heart of their operations base, weapons included. They all looked around in a complete daze.
Okay, Moorfield. Thanks for not killing us.
It finally started to sink in. They'd survived. While they didn't yet have confirmation of having completed their mission successfully, Idina had never been more sure of anything in her life. The soldiers of their support unit, all of whom sat at the equipment tables to await Bravo's return, seemed convinced that it was all over, too.
I am so fucking glad I get to go back to the regular army after this.
2 weeks later, Hellion Squadron finally confirmed, completely and unequivocally, that they'd patched the leak in the source of all monsters. Hopefully it was permanent, but there were never any guarantees with that kind of thing. Even before that confirmation, though, Bravo team got those full 2 weeks off after their month in Scotland, and they had another week of leave with full pay after that. The first thing they did was decide to spend Christmas together, because they'd made it back in time, and Sergeant Briggs surprised them all by inviting the entire team to his house. He did make it clear that it was a BYOB Christmas party, with good reason. After the new year, Idina got a text from Richard that said nothing about their successful mission, congratulated her, or anything about the massive undertaking in which Bravo team had succeeded. All he gave her was an address, a date, a time, and a reminder to wear her dress blues for the formal occasion. It wasn't a direct order, but she was too curious to decline. When Idina stepped through the convention center's doors, she realized he'd invited her to another military ceremony. She didn't recognize a single person there.
Idina!
She turned to see Richard racing toward her with a massive grin.
You didn't tell me.
I don't tell you a lot of things. Come on, I have the best seats in the house.
She couldn't help but let her uncle drag her along with him toward the opposite side of the convention center. Then she realized the best seats in the house were at the open bar.
Of course.
Have a seat.
Richard ordered a scotch for both, then watched his niece with his knowing smile while they waited for their drinks.
We both know I don't have to say anything about, well, everything.
Not at all, Colonel. I think my team's actions speak for themselves.
Oh, you're funny.
Richard immediately grabbed his drink as soon as the bartender slid them across the bar. The MC for the evening welcomed everyone.
I want to welcome everyone to this evening's event. I'm very excited that everybody could be here to celebrate the change of command for the 307th Battalion Commander. I think you're all in for a real treat tonight. Now, I'd like to turn it over to Lieutenant Teal with the 82nd Airborne Division All-American Chorus.
The room exploded with applause, and Idina grabbed her drink before turning to face the front of the room with a frown.
We have a chorus?
Hey, you're in for a real treat with these guys. I know it seems weird. Just wait.
When the unit of Army vocalists walked out onto the stage and started their first song, he didn't seem able to focus on any of that either.
Idina.
Yeah?
He lowered his glass and fixed her with an earnest, truly grateful gaze.
Thank you. I couldn't be there to do it with you this time, so the credit's all yours.
And Bravo's.
Naturally. Now I have a bunch of equipment, gear, and experimental technology that's practically useless. Magic went back to normal. Hellion's operating the way it knows how. The mobs are... well, they're still there, but now we're prepared. Over-prepared, even. Not sure what to do about that.
Well, you're welcome. Maybe we can leave it at that.
After how hard it had been during the last few months to truly believe that things would change, specifically for the better, they now had proof that everything was going to be okay, at least for the foreseeable future.
I have one request, though.
Name it, and we'll see.
Annual Hellion Awards.
What?
Alumni attendance would be mandatory. Nobody else has to hear, see, or know anything else about it. But there are a lot of people in this squadron, and those who've worked closely with this squadron who deserve more recognition than a pat on the back.
Her uncle's smile disappeared, and he raised an eyebrow.
Did someone put you up to this?
No. If I had a say in things, you'd get a medal too.
Jesus Christ, Idina. For what?
Nothing special. Just founding the only military program in the world skilled and dedicated enough to save the world without anyone ever knowing.
Obviously.
Think about it. I know some people who could pull a few strings.
So do I. And while we're exchanging requests, Idina, I have one for you, which isn't nearly as far off in the future and doesn't allow much time for you to think about it.
Idina stared at her uncle and raised an eyebrow.
This can't be good.
Actually, on second thought, it isn't really a request. More like an invitation.
A mandatory invitation?
No, nothing like that. More of a... Well, honestly, your attendance here wasn't mandatory. Neither was mine. And now that I've made an appearance, I think I'd prefer to leave.
His luminous green gaze searched her face. Then he gazed around the room as if he didn't want her to see how sneaky he was trying to be. It wasn't working, and as well as she knew her uncle, he wasn't being sneaky.
You're giving another order right now, aren't you?
Only if you want to look at it that way. But yes, it's not that far beyond the realm of your expertise, so this should be a breeze for you.
Great.
I think so.
Richard stood from the bar stool, then reached into his pocket. Something jingled in his hand when he pulled it out. Then he grinned and tossed it at his niece.
Here.
Idina caught the set of car keys, stared at them, then pinned her CO with a deadpan stare.
Are you serious right now?
Very much so. We really should hurry. Once the chorus finishes giving the performance of a lifetime, they'll bring the man of the hour up on stage, and I'll inevitably have to look him in the eye while he gives a little speech.
The man of the hour? You mean your battalion commander replacement?
In a manner of speaking. Although he's been serving in the position for a while now, this only makes it all official.
Idina squinted at her uncle, then glanced across the room.
Who is it?
Major Hines, of course. I have no interest in sticking around long enough to hear him talk about how I finally stepped aside after stealing his job. So let's go.
After flashing her a quick grin, he stalked off toward the side of the convention center, leaving behind a half-full glass of scotch. He fully expected Corporal Moorfield to drive him wherever. Idina stared at the car keys in her hand.
Well... This feels like a demotion.
Warrior 12, Ride the Thunder, by Martha Carr and Michael Anderle, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2022, Martha Carr and Michael Anderle. Published by arrangement with LMBPN Publishing. All rights reserved. Narrated by Dawn Ursula. Featuring Yenny Ann as Idina, Julian Daly as Grossman, Danny Gavigan as Briggs, N.J. Aguna as Trigger, Mark Harrietta as Chandler, Drew Kopis as Bam, Dan Delgado as Wilson, Peter Stanley as Edgars, Ian Putnam as Cake, and Andrew Mims as Skin, with additional performances by Torian Brackett, Eva Wilhelm, Stephen Carpenter, Wynn Delano, Patrick Boylan, Holly Adams, David Arden Engel, John Kielty, Charlie Albers, Andrew James Spooner, Nathaniel Priestley, Nora Ashrati, Ella Lynch, Daniel Cohen, Steve Winnall, Michael Glenn, and RJ Bailey. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Emlyn McFarland. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Mayann Ross. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you enjoyed Warrior 12 Ride the Thunder, you may also enjoy the Kertherian Gambit series by Michael Anderley. Keep listening for a preview of Kertherian Gambit in glorious graphic audio.
She kicked off the first building and showered those below with the small pebbles her armored boot dislodged as she jumped across the street high enough to just barely clear the roofline. She noticed the roof she was about to land on was made of some sort of glass. Baba Yaga disappeared into the etheric before crashing through it. Turning to her right, she moved forward 15 steps in the amorphous fog and then peeked out. Taking another step, she dropped to the roof of the building on the right of the one whose roof she had almost crashed through. She landed on her feet and took off running again.
Where is that bastard?
Damn it, running through the etheric with this new armor was a bitch.
2 blocks to the right and 1 up.
Pay attention to my weight.
She took 2 steps, caught the edge of the rooftop with her right leg, and pushed as hard as she could to catapult herself across the street toward a red building that was in the correct direction. Fortunately, this building was a story lower, and she knew it had a solid roof. Her cloak fluttered behind her as she landed on her left leg and kept running across the building, then jumped up about 20 feet to the roof of the next building. A quick kick and she rebounded off a stone wall, then landed at the edge of another roof, arms windmilling to make sure she didn't slip off and do a Tabitha 4 stories down.
You know, it would be possible to save the aunt.
What? I thought you said if a Kertherian took over the body like that, they got rid of the host.
In the long term, yes. But it probably hasn't been long enough. Jermom could still be in there, screaming as the Kertherian keeps her down.
Well, how the fuck are we going to pull the Kertherian out of her? Or can we kill the Kertherian inside?
Best chance is to get the Kertherian to come out.
How?
Not sure. Tempt them using their sense of superiority. He or she will want to move to a better host than they have now.
You want me to find a tempting host around here? We could get one or both of the aliens killed.
Technically, the aunt is going to die anyway. But I wasn't suggesting we use a random stranger as the bait.
No fucking way. You want me to use my own body so I can have 2 Kertherians duking it out?
She began jogging down the roof.
I'd rather think that there is no way another Kertherian can beat me.
How sure are you of that?
Her eyes scanned the street below as she continued moving along the roof.
Thanks for listening to this graphic audio production. Graphic audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.